traveled with Brother Gordon quite a few times, and I really enjoy his knowledge and the way he speaks. Says a lot for us to learn, and sometimes he uses big words that I don't even know what they mean, but his knowledge is above. And I truly enjoy his conversations when we travel together. And I am happy to introduce him today to you guys. As you can see, I'm not very good at it, but I'm glad that I have this opportunity, and I'm glad that I get to know each of the ministers. And there's many up there that are working hard to bring this gospel to you guys, to those who are behind the camera. So that is a blessing that we have, all these ministers here with us. And I'm happy to say that I know all of them, almost. And there's a lot that you can learn from them. So I ask that you pay your closest attention to what he has for us today. I give you a Brother Gordon.
Okay, yep, there we go. My fault, I turned it the wrong way. Anyhow, I'm happy to be here with you. It's been a while since I've had this opportunity. I welcome you that are live streaming. I guess what I'm going to ask of you is I am not going to rush through what I have, because I feel that it's something that the message that the Lord gave me is something that you need to contemplate on, you need to think about. And so I encourage you just to write the scriptures down as we go. And if you want to copy a PDF file, I'll gladly give it to you. But it's important for our day that we live in. So could you turn those lights off so they can see the top one on your, and then the bottom one? Thank you. We could turn this one off too. Excuse me. Okay. So as you can see up here, the topic, bring forth my Zion. And there's a blessing that comes with it. So this is our commission as a body of people. It says, and blessed they shall have, whoa, I must have really goofed that up. Forgive me. Let me read it out of here. That's what I get for doing it in the middle of the night. We're in the third chapter of 1 Nephi, and we're going to read 187. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day. For they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I heard the word Zion, it always was connected with the cause. When you really look at what it says, it's more possessive than that. My Zion. And so the cause of Zion kind of throws you way off base, if you think about it, that word. In fact, in the Hebrew, the word cause really doesn't exist. It's always a conjunction with something else, or two words put together. Forgive me, I'm sorry. So really the focus, the Lord is wanting us to focus on something. Bring forth my Zion. So when I get done, I'm hoping that I'll give you a better picture of what that is that we are to bring forth. And it comes with a blessing. And the blessing is that those of us who endeavor to do that will have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, when this was written by our brothers, it talks about earlier where the Lord was going to correct a problem that the Gentiles had, that they were stumbling because they had the Bible that they were putting their trust in, but there was some of the plain and precious things had been removed, so it was a great stumbling block, causing problems for Christianity. And so the Lord was going to do something, He commanded those who wrote and kept those records that we know that are part of the Book of Mormon, and that those plain and precious things would be contained in there, and that he was going to bring it forth, given it to them that they might give back to Israel. The Word of God. Let's examine the following questions. Who are they? So in that statement it says, blessed are they. So I'm going to try and answer that real quick. What day is at that day? That was the statement. At that day, they would be blessed. And what is meant by my Zion? That's another thing I want to touch upon. And then, how do we seek to bring it forth? What is it that the Lord is looking from us to do it? So, he's wanting us to do something, and we need to know what it is. It's kind of important. And at what period of time in history is this going to be important? Obviously, we know that, at least in part, that when this was written, that it was going to follow the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. The promises to the Gentiles. I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, saith the Lamb, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in my own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. So here's a clue. And the time cometh that he shall manifest himself unto all nations, both unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles. And after that he hath manifest himself unto the Jews, and also unto the Gentiles, then he shall manifest himself unto the Gentiles and also unto the Jews. So the clue is that the Lord was going to manifest himself to the Jews, which he did, and that's what we have in the Bible, when Christ walked on earth, right? Then it says he's going to manifest himself to the Gentiles. And he did through the teachings of Paul and Peter and the different ones of the apostles as they reached out throughout all the world. And then it says, then he shall manifest himself unto the Gentiles. And that's us. The restored gospel. He manifested himself by bringing forth the Book of Mormon and the restoration of the gospel. And then it says, and also unto the Jews. That was the next step in this process. So that should be a clue as to what day. We've gone through the Jews, the Gentiles. Now we are in the Jew period. Okay? So that should help you to understand at what day we're talking about. And the last, the Gentiles shall be first. And the first, the Jews shall be last. So you should have an understanding of that now, right? That's why he said that. The restored gospel. And it shall come to pass that if the Gentiles shall hearken unto the Lamb of God in that day, that he shall manifest himself unto them in word and also in power and in very deed. They shall be numbered among the seed of thy father. Becoming an heir to that promise that was given to Lehi, Nephi. That's what it's saying here. The seed of Joseph, right? And then it says the promises to the Gentiles. Yea, they shall be numbered among the house of Israel. So that's even more broader, right? There's a blessing with Joseph, and then there's that overall blessing of being part of the house of Israel. Remember, Brother Adam, we're talking about that, where it came through Abraham and that beautiful promise that the Lord had given Abraham. And they shall be a blessed people upon the promised land forever. Now, it's speaking of those individuals, us. That's what it's talking about. They shall be a blessed people upon the promised land. Why? Because we know that that promise is to the seed of Joseph and encompassing the house of Jacob. So when we think about this nation, it was very hard for me to, being in the military and everything and seeing all the problems and the difficulties in the United States and how it seems to be being taken away from me, I have to remember the promise. And I ask you to remember the promise. And they shall be blessed people upon this promised land. It's your land. Okay? And they shall be no more brought down into captivity. And that's the other promise that's given to us. Because we fall under that promise of Joseph and the seed of Jacob. So, but if they will repent and hearken unto my words and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them. And that's what God has done. And he's speaking of the Gentiles, right? They shall come in unto the covenant. That's what we read earlier in 1 Nephi, right? Blessed are they. It was speaking of those, they would fall under that covenant. And then, and be numbered among this, the remnant of Jacob, reiterating it. And you find that there in 3 Nephi in the 10th chapter. Unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance. That's why it's your land. You've made a covenant before God, and now you've fallen under the same covenant. What a beautiful thing. All those promises from Abraham all the way down, you're a part of it. I want you to rejoice in that. It's something special. They shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob. Now there's the other clue. How we are going to be part of to seek to bring forth my Zion at that day. They shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob. And what does that mean? Well, we'll talk about that. The inner meaning of Zion, okay? The Hebrew word for Zion, and it's Zion, can be translated as indication or a marking, okay? As it states in the Jewish law, when a physical object has a sign, a marking, should it be lost, the sign enables it to be returned to its owner. So when you think about Zion, that's the inner meaning of it, okay? That when a physical object has a sign, a marking, should it be lost, the sign enables it to be returned to its owners. So, too, the Jewish nation has its markings. Thus, they are not lost among the rest of the world and always return to their owner. This is another part of that clue concerning seek to bring forth my Zion. In Ezekiel, in the 34th chapter, in the 16th verse, it says, this is the Lord speaking, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken. That's his promise. Speaking of Israel, speaking of that covenant that he made with them. The prophet Zenos, he says, for behold, thus saith the Lord, I will liken thee, O house of Israel, like unto a tame olive tree, which a man took and nourished in his vineyard, and it grew and waxed old and became and began to decay. Really, this is the beginning of the story. This is the beginning of us understanding how we're going to seek to bring forth Zion at that day. The problem. This is the problem. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel. You can find this in Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. And I'm only quoting verse 2 and 6. If you get a chance, go there and read the 34th chapter. It's a very good read, definitely on this topic. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? He was not happy with them. And that's what you find in Ezekiel. And that was the Levites and the priests. They were called at that time. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. He's condemning them because of what had happened. And if you think about it, in the day of Ezekiel, that's when Israel had been scattered. And there's a condemnation to the priesthood. The solution, it says, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. I will require my flock at their hand. And that's with any of the called ministry. Your called ministry today. Your blood is on our shoulders. If we don't teach, and if we don't endeavor to call you out of the world, that's what he's called us to do. And cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore. What this is he's divorcing himself from that priesthood. I'm putting it away. It is not going to be valid anymore. To cease from feeding the flock. He's taken away their authority. Okay? For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. So he's giving it to someone else. All right? So what will be done? Behold, I, this is in Ezekiel continuing on in the 34th chapter. Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. That's why the Lord used those words. Blessed are they who seek to bring forth Zion at that day. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. So again, remembering that Israel was scattered throughout all the isles of the sea. And the Lord is going to seek them out. And there's a reason for that. How will it be done? Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. This is in Jeremiah in the 31st chapter. That I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. He says, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God and they shall be my people. And truly, that's what the Lord, when he came and he prayed to the Father that a comforter would be given, that was the means by which this would take place. And there would be a new ministry to lay on of hands to give that beautiful gift if they would come and seek it. And that's how he would do it. The old ministry were being put away, and there would be a new called ministry of Christ to do this work. Who will be used? Wherefore go to and call servants. This is now back in Jacob. That we may labor diligently with our mites in the vineyard, that we may prepare the way, that I may bring forth again the natural fruit, bringing Israel back to its natural state, which natural fruit is good and the most precious above all other fruit. the labor with our mights? Wherefore, let us go to and labor with our mights this last time. That is at that day that it was speaking of. And it's going to be the last time that this is going to be. For behold, the end draweth nigh. And this is for the last time that I shall prune my vineyard. We are in that period of time. Okay? Wherefore, dig about them and prune them and dung them once more for the last time, for the end draweth nigh. And that all that work of bringing forth the restoration and giving us the Book of Mormon, that was that digging and fertilizing the trees that is being used in this parable. That's what happened. That's what is known as the restored church of Christ. The Lord himself did that. And he set ministry in his church for that work. That called ministry that replaced the old that had been done away. Where will the work begin? Graft in the branches. Now, this is important because this is our work, you know. Sometimes I know it's quoted in the 24th chapter, go out in all the world and, you know, preach and baptize. And then he says, till the end. And I guess my question is, do you know what end he's speaking of? Because it's important. But anyhow, this is our work. Graft in the branches. This is how we're going to seek to bring forth Zion. This is the clues. Begin at the last, that they may be first. That the first may be last. And dig about the trees, both old and young. The first and the last. The last and the first. Now, have I totally confused you? Hopefully I'll clear it up. All may be nourished. The first, the last, and the first. And once again, for the last time. There were four plantings that the prophet Zeno spoke of, found in Jacob 3:63-68. The one, it says, it was a poor spot of ground. That was the first planting, okay? The second one, it said, this spot was poorer than the first. All these things are how it was describing where Israel was carried off into these areas, all right? 720 BC, when the northern kingdoms was carried off, and 587 BC, when the southern kingdom was carried off, scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. Another branch also was planted. And then there was a fourth planting, a good spot of ground. Those were the four plantings that you read in Jacob in the third chapter. Now, there's a lot that kind of wraps around it. I'm not going to go there. I want this to kind of spur your interest to the point that you want to read it, so that when you read it and you see some of the things that I said, it'll start clicking. Because really, the commandment is, we're to seek to bring forth Zion. We need to know what it is that we're trying to do. And who are we trying to reach? That Zion, that my Zion, God's work. Remember that. It's God's work, not ours. So what happened to them? And it came to pass that they beheld that the fruit of the natural branches had become corrupt. Right? So the Jewish nation became corrupt. That's what that's saying. The first and the second and also the last of those plantings. So it only gives three. When you start unfolding what the Lord was going to work with, It says, and it came to pass that they beheld that the fruit of the natural branches had become corrupt also, which were these four plantings as well. But he only mentions that the first and the second and also the last, and they all became corrupt. So what happened to the third? I want to try to give you that understanding. The following people became one. Remember in the Book of Mormon in Omni 1:27 in Helaman? It talks about it. Zarahemla, Mulek, the son of Zedekiah, one of the younger sons of Zedekiah, fled and came to the Americas. And they established themselves in a city called Zarahemla. And that's when those of Mosiah's group came and they found them. And they found out that they were truly of the house of Israel. They had been led there. But they went with haste and they didn't have the record. They didn't have the brass plates. Lehi did. And so they were able to bring them up to speed on those things. And they came together and they became one. So, and Mosiah and also the Nephites and the Lamanites eventually became one. So the third and the fourth planting became one. So that's why you see the first and the second and the last. And the last is the combination of three and four, the third and fourth planting. So now you can see that work really started, didn't it? That's already started. And these are identified as the last planting, and they had all become corrupt. The point of him planting him was to try to bring forth fruit. What about the fourth? And because that I plucked not the branches thereof and cast them into the fire, behold, they have overcome the good branch. Those of the Lamanites finally succeeded and overcame the Nephites, where they were no more. That it had withered away, and that's what this prophecy of Zenos was saying. And we know it through the history in the Book of Mormon. The trees thereof have become corrupt, that they bring forth no good fruit. Where are we in this work? That's the question, right? The work began with the last planting, right? It says the first and the last, the last and the first. So they're going to start with the last. And the last was what? In a good part, in the good ground. Ye are my disciples, and ye are a light unto this people, which are a remnant of the house of Joseph. And this was Christ speaking to his disciples as he had worked with them at that time. Ye are they of which I said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. And so you can see where the Lord had nourished that branch. But you can read from that point in time, there was the fourth chapter of Nephi, 200 years of living with the Lord and enjoying those blessings, and then they fell away to about 421 AD, and then you find that the record ended. They became corrupt. Begin with the last. The work began with Apostle Clarence Wheaton and his wife Angela visited the home of Nemencio Sue in the small Mayan town in Amani in 1951. Then in 1953, 30 souls from the town of Zaan were baptized into the Church of Christ, and from among them the Lord called ministry to shepherd his flock. Now, if you want to read more about that history, you can go to The Last Mayan King and the Liberation of Jerusalem. That's a pamphlet that our brother Don McIndoe had written. That was the last planting. That is what was beginning the work, okay? The first and the last became first. The last was the Gentiles received the restored gospel, and now it was going to go to the first, Israel. That these sayings which you shall write shall be kept and shall be manifested unto the Gentiles, that through the fullness of the Gentiles, the remnant of their seed, which shall be scattered forth upon the face of the earth because of their unbelief, may be brought in or may be brought to a knowledge of me, their Redeemer. That's part of seeking forth, to bring forth Zion, is that work, bringing that knowledge back to Israel for a purpose, to bring them back into the fold. Okay? To Christ. Who are the first two plantings? I have other sheep. This is what Christ told him after he said, you are those sheep. Now he goes on and says, I have other sheep which are not of this land, neither of the land of Jerusalem, neither in any parts of that land round about whither I have been to minister. What did Christ say? That I should go unto them, those other plantings, and that they shall hear my voice and shall be numbered among my sheep, that there may be one fold and one shepherd. So, and if you read that there, it said, I was given a commandment of my Father that I have to go. And this is what I'm going to do. Okay? He's going to those other plantings. This spot was poorer than the first, the second planting. Remember, it says start with the last and work your way down to the third, you know, the fourth. Fourth is the last, third, second, and first. But obviously, the fourth and third were combined. That's what we have of our brethren in Yucatan. So now we're going to the second. This spot was poorer than the first. The Lord's work. The Lord's work, not ours. Our brother Brian had a vision. He saw himself working among a black people when he was called to be an apostle. In Kisii, Kenya, 21 souls in 2000, May of 2000, were baptized into the Church of Christ. And Moses Aruru Chuma was ordained as an elder by October of that same year. God set his ministry among that planting again. Part of to seek to bring forth my Zion. There are 2,339 baptized members on the continent of Africa that spread from that little beginning with over 53 missions and locals. That's not by accident. That is God working through his ministry, calling them out of that cloudy place, leading his ministry as they have had faith in those things that God has called them to do. We didn't just decide to go to Africa. This was part of the plan. This was that second planting that Jacob speaks of. There's another planting, a poor spot of ground. That was the first planting. In 2001, July, in Panabo, Philippines, 35 souls were baptized into the Church of Christ. Prudencio Alameda and Roger Manali were ordained an elder. In 2002, again, the Lord working through the Gentiles, desiring to do the will of God, he opened that planting. So that today there are over 3,270 baptized members on the continent of Asia. That would include India and the Philippines. Over 55 missions and locals. And by the way, if you ever get a chance, you can listen to the report that Brother Frank Fan and Brother Jay gave when they came back Brother Frank gave his report, and then Brother Jay stood up. And I believe he spoke under the influence of the Spirit because he hesitated. And he said he could see that as the gateway to all of Asia. That first planting. I've read books, my brother Jay has read books, that part of Israel went clear into India. As far as India. In those areas. We don't know where they're at, but God knows. And that was the first planting. The promise, I will bring them out from the people, gather them from the countries, and bring them to their own land. He's identified them. That marker is on them, okay? He identified them for us. They're mine. They're mine. And so that promise that he would gather them, bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. That was the promise, to bring Israel back. The purpose of being one fold. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold. They will be protected. And in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. And I will cause them to lie down. That means there's nothing chasing them. They're not afraid. They're being protected. That's what that means. Saith the Lord God. One shepherd, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, speaking of Christ, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. That day is coming. That day is when Christ returns to set his kingdom once again. For 1,000 years on this earth. That is the culmination of Zion, that kingdom, and the bringing his people back. And there's a purpose about these four plantings in this time. And you could read the rest of it at the end of Isaiah, the 66th chapter. The rest of the work, the rest of the story. I'll leave it for you to read. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Thy God reigneth. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good and publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. I hope you see that picture of truly what Zion is. For a long time in my life, I was confused, not fully understanding because of the word cause of Zion. It's possessive. It's that marker. It's that kingdom that will be established on earth. Israel will return to the homelands, and Christ will reign. May God bless you in your endeavors of knowing and understanding these things, and I hope and pray that I may have given you a little thought, a little help in that understanding, that it'll get you excited about the work that we have before us and how God has laid it out and why it's so important that we tithe and why it's so important that we go that Brian and different ones go to these areas because we have been called to go, and we need to go for that work that God Himself has opened. We didn't dream that up. It's God's plan, and we are working in that plan. May God bless you in those things.